shepherding people in the congregation. Also, I printed out last time we met, but then I got another copy. It's on page 2. How about we just talk about that in line with the our last meeting? We looked at Ezekiel 34 on shepherding there, and I got that here somewhere. Yeah, here it is. Where it talked about a job description for a shepherd from Ezekiel 34. Mm-hmm. Strengthening the weak, praying for the sick, binding up the injured, searching for the lost, bringing back strays. Kind of just that in mind. We just started, Dave.
Okay.
That just with that in mind, looking at these 6 best practices for shepherding people in a congregation, I'm not going to read it all. I'll just read the top one. We can discuss it for 30 seconds or a minute or even more if you want to, just to kind of go through. And I thought they were really good, what Jim and Jim Martin's one that spoke at our elders thing in January. So, and they're really simple. You know, listen well and give others your presence. I think that helps as a shepherd.
My lawyers think that they're so smart and they just have to impress everybody. With, mm-hmm. And training younger lawyers, the first thing I do is tell them, shut up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm not a real smart lawyer, but you know, I think that is one of the things that has made my practice flourish.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what does James have to say? Be quick to listen, slow to speak,
yeah.
Slow to become angry. Yeah. So, yeah, that one is, you know, give others your presence. That was one of the things that I struggled with. One of my weaknesses at home when I was a minister. Because I always had other things I was thinking about, and that's one thing I wish I could take back with that. But being even on Sundays when we're here, there's so many things going on, and to be yeah. present and listen was hard. And my hearing has gotten better, which used to be in the lobby. I couldn't hear people when my hearing was pretty bad. And I noticed just a month ago, I thought, oh, I can listen out in the lobby now. So that's just being present. Number 2, consider one-to-one mentoring. You know, that's discipleship. You know, and Jesus said, therefore, go and make disciples of others. We've kind of talked about that with our putting together an elders mentoring thing, just a meeting one-on-one instead of having a little more passive. And even having others that we just get with one-on-one. That's just something I think is important. Any comments?
It's a Socratic technique.
The what?
Socratic technique.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Socrates, you know, Jesus. I mean, the feet of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It was the special place. Mary wasn't going to have it taken away from.
Yeah. Number 3, begin to look for others who might already be informally shepherding. And that's kind of one thing we've looked at as far as getting people to become elders. But I think it's also another thing that with our pastoral care team, which I think is probably one of the best things we've done in a long time. We've done a lot of good things, I guess, but that's just the one that's, I think, has been very helpful for us as shepherds, because the system that we typically put together in churches, it doesn't work. We can't shepherd 250 people. So I think that's good. Number 4, get organized with a follow-up plan. Again, shepherding the pastoral team has been very helpful with that, and that's mainly talking about homebound people or people in care facilities and aren't those that aren't a part of our church for whatever reason, can't be here on Sundays. Now we got a new thing called the internet that we use, but that doesn't do it. I mean, that's good where they feel some part, but then how do we do that? And again, pastoral team has been very helpful with that. Number 5, are there significant life events affecting someone? You know, I think Andrew looking at the bulletin and saw that Terry Krigler's birthday was today, and he tried to call him. That's good, and that's very good with our emails that we get and looking at some of those. I look at it and think, I'm going to text them, and I hardly ever do. Brett, you do a great job of emailing people with a significant event or something, and you appreciate you putting on behalf of the elders, but you do a really, really good job of that, and I thank you for doing that. But then just just thinking about that, other significant life events and how we can celebrate or mourn or support with things like that. Number six, help individuals connect with smaller groups. And this is, you know, this one that we're going to be talking about here a little, what we've been talking about. And the best way to shepherd is through connect groups, by far. I don't know a better way. And if we have a strong connect group, small group program, we have a healthier group. And yeah, I think, you know, really trying to encourage people to be part of the connect groups is something I think is very significant. So I just want to bring that up and just real practical things for us with that.
When we visited Joanna this past week on our vacation, we visited her church as well, and they were announcing and introducing a four-week small group program. They do not have well-established small groups. They've got, you know, connections and folks, you know, what we would call the huddle groups going on with groups of guys and stuff. And so to get folks involved or to try it, they were just doing 4 weeks. It's only a short-term commitment for both the leaders and those trying it. And I did wonder if sometimes inviting folks to our small groups feels like this permanent, year-long, ongoing, wow, how would I get out of it? And so giving people that off-ramp, but a taste and all that, I thought there's something to that as we talk about our small groups or reintroduce.
Idea.
So there ought to be a way we get a couple of new groups. They're only for a month or so.
It's a good way to let people know we want to reset.
Yeah.
Instead of, we're going to reset and do the same thing. It's not resetting. That's a good idea. Yeah. So we want to give that idea to Brett Blackford as he's
When do you retire?
Month and a half.
Okay. All right. So let me lead a prayer for us as elders. God, thank you for putting us in the role as shepherds at this church. Sometimes it's drudgery, but most of the times it's joyful. And thank you for that and allowing us to do it. Father, be with us that we can just really engage the people more, be more present, and do some of these things from Ezekiel 34, and also just some things that Jim Martin suggested, some very practical stuff, and just show each of us how we can be better individual shepherds. Show us how we can be better at corporate shepherding. Thank you for Andrew being here with us, and we're just a sigh of relief as he has started this, and we're thankful for that, and bless he and his family as they start and as they grow. Bless this meeting today. In your son's name I pray. Amen. People. Don, I got you leading the prayer.
Did you all see the email that Kaylin sent out on Kate Mignot?
Boy, so, 75 pounds.
Yeah, her cousin has lupus and some other illnesses going on with that. And she's even having this other illness that's causing kidney failure. And she's not a candidate for a kidney transplant because of her weight issues. Apparently, this, something's attacking her muscles and fat. And she's 75 pounds, like you said, Steve.
She weighs 75 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Ugh.
She's 34.
It's Katie's cousin?
Mm-hmm. Her name is Adrian. She's 34 years old and has a 7-year-old son. And so she just wanted us to pray for her cousin.
I sent her an email today and said, we're praying.
That's great.
Good. How's Arstine? No, she's back in the hospital with some.
So I think they got that under control.
Oh, good.
And so she's. They put her in step down, I think, yesterday. She was in ICU for a while. They put her in step down yesterday. So I think she'll probably be discharged back to the nursing home here in the next couple of days or so. So that's much better. So yesterday, Carrie Merrick Guerin, she thought she had texted me something, but she sent it to the wrong text because she wanted us to talk about this in our meeting yesterday, Sunday. She was visiting with Charlene Taylor, which is Brian's mother, and while she was there, she noticed a couple of things that are going on with the house. First is that she said that the electrical outlets, whenever you plug something in, they spark. And apparently the air conditioner is inside of the house someplace, but the condensation hose is flowing water back in. She said she was walking through water the whole time she was in the house.
And is it a window unit?
I don't know. Huh. I don't know if it's it is. Okay. Are you familiar with this?
I've been there. That problem wasn't there. It's been earlier this spring that I was there visiting her and doing some errands.
So
that was Brian's mom?
Yeah, Charlotte, yes.
She's a tenant and has a landlord. I don't know.
He's not.
Not responsive.
He's not. That's the problem, is that he's out of state. And there's a management company, and the management company has been very irresponsible. Okay. And so she says she didn't want to overburden Brian because he got so much going on. And I did talk to Brian about it, and he does have a lot on his plate, and he's been trying to handle that. But he's at a loss on what to do. He don't really know how because they're not responding to her. And you know, I guess the other thing, she's on oxygen with these things sparking around. It's not a, you know, either, you know. So I really don't have an answer for him either. I mean, other than maybe writing a letter to the management company and putting something on record. But I did tell him that I will mention it tonight at our meeting. I'm willing to walk alongside him, but I'm not sure where it's going to take us, you know. So just be praying about that. If you guys have any ideas on what we can do other than a letter, that's going to be the starting point. So just please reach out to me and let me know.
The electrical could be simply just changing the plug-ins.
She had a fireman there for some reason, and he told her that it was a very dangerous situation. It could be something as simple as that.
Yeah, and if it is, I'll got stuff going on, but I can, that's easy enough, I can do that. I've got testers and I can see if the circuits are wonky or whatever, so I'll see what kind of time I have, and maybe this weekend maybe you and I can do that, or I can go
call me. I mean I've got a bunch of plugins. I never throw anything away, and they're fine.
Okay.
I can bring up a box of
plugins. It wasn't very long ago her other son was living with her.
Okay.
And she does have another son in town, if he's not living with her. Brian has mentioned from time to time, and so it isn't only Brian, probably.
Yes. Yeah, and then, Terry said he's there. He's there. When she was there, she looked like he was living there and sleeping on the couch.
Okay.
Is it a window unit there?
I don't know, but the judge said it is
a window unit.
Okay.
I mean, if it's, that's part of the problem. I mean, for a couple $100, you get a decent window unit and maybe.
Yeah.
Or whatever the drain line is.
Just kind of,
to blow out the line.
If you just kind of, you need a little bit of.
Her unit went out earlier in the spring and they did replace it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be that old.
Okay.
Is her name Charlotte or Charlene?
Charlene, I think.
Charlene.
I think Charlene.
Taylor. She lives south on Grand.
Oh, really?
South of where Bryant used to live.
Okay.
And the other problem is that the rent is $600 a month, and so it's hard to find something in St. Louis.
Ooh.
You know, in that price category.
Yeah, she's been looking.
Ben and Julie's daughter Rachel just got engaged.
Oh, yeah, really? That's great. Yeah. That's exciting.
Tony, so she's engaged. Several weeks ago, Ben came up to me and said, "Hey, you know, Journey is really a problem," which is Brian's youngest daughter in the nursery. He said, "She's throwing things, and I'm afraid for some of the other kids. Can you talk to, you know, the Taylors and see?" So I spoke to the Taylors, and I told them, you know, what the concern was, and asked them if they can just, at least if they can go into the nursery or take Journey out that day. And they addressed it, you know. I think they took Journey out for that day. So when I was talking to Brian this morning, he brought up something that happened yesterday. Again, Ben is, it's his hot button with Journey. And so I know, and Jeff is gone, trying to work on that. I think one of his plans was a separate aerial and Journey. because he thought they were playing off each other with the behavior, and he moved Ariel up into preschool, and he thought that it did seem to have an effect. But Journey just have some behavioral issues, and so the Taylors were a little bit not happy with Ben, and because they said he understands she has some behavioral issues, and so we need to figure out how to address that, because I don't think it's going to get any better. One of the things that he said that will be happening in the next couple of weeks is that she will be in St. Louis Public School. They have an IEP, and hopefully preschool will be working with her based on her needs, and maybe that's not a quick fix. Mm-hmm. It can be a longer term fix, but I think in the meantime, we need to just be aware that's going on and be thinking about ways. And one of the things maybe is just asking the Taylors, you know, each take a week in there with Journey, Nene 1 week, Brian another, and just see if that will help some.
So what is Ben's role?
Ben goes in, I think, once a month as to help with in the nursery with the kids. Okay.
Julie, I think, are a nursery team on a rotation, I believe. And so I'm curious if Jeff is hearing from other helpers there with the same issue. You know, they're also bringing it up the office.
I'm sure. It's not, I think it's a common problem. Ben's Jeff's been trying to address Jeff. He has been trying to address it, you know. It's just, you know, it's just still happening. So he's probably limited what he can do. I think just being aware of that's a problem, and it's some things are percolating that we need to be aware of. So that we want to make sure that we are trying to, you know, squash that as much as possible. So our recommendation is for Brian and Nene to each spend a week in nursery.
They
kind of rotate that. That's 2 weeks, and maybe one of those weeks is when Ben is there. You know, that might be part of the help with that too. So,
Sue was bitten by Journey. Sue was bitten.
Oh, by Journey.
She was really? It drew blood.
Oh, really? She does have some serious issues.
Well, Tom Jones, he's been visiting. He sits over there by Susan and I. He's part of our Thursday morning group. Good guy. He's having back surgery.
Yes.
I think the first week of September, maybe. Something like that.
Hmm.
And then another guy that's been visiting, part of our group, sits over there with us, Steve Schock. He's the guy that's about 6'6",
mm-hmm.
gray hair. His wife had surgery about 2-3 weeks ago. Her name is Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Good guys.
Yeah. I was here last week, and they had an overflow of people at the food pantry. They called me in action for it. But Tom was up there. He was working the food pantry.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I asked, I was seeing if he could go with me to the Cardinal game. It's a day game on Wednesday.
Okay.
And he texted me and said he forgot he's working the food pantry that day. I'm like, come on, get your priorities.
Yeah. Has he signed up for your class pictures?
I haven't seen anything yet, so.
Yeah, Jeff has talked to both of those guys, and if anybody can get him there, Jeff will, because he's got a good relationship with them. He's a main part. I hope they come.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Tried to approach him and say, we'd like to get you as a member here. And he said, well, I'm not quite ready yet. And,
That's okay.
I
have no idea what would be holding him back, because he loves it here. Yeah. Absolutely loves it here. Yeah. He doesn't stay for class. Didn't stay for the reception yesterday. I don't know, but he's a good guy. You talking about Tom?
Yeah. I talked to him, and he was telling me the kids are going back to school, and so he's got his life back.
Claudia Miller visited yesterday.
Yeah.
She's part of our small group. Her husband was out of town. And so that was nice that she was there, didn't stay long. but their son, Max, in Jacksonville, Florida, is having some sort of a breakdown. and his wife has separated from him. I don't know a lot of details, but Cloudy was asking if I would ask, do we have any Church of Christ contacts in Jacksonville, yes. Florida?
Dave Berry, who used to be at Maryland Heights, he was he's a worship minister there, and now he's not employed by them, maybe part-time, and he's got his own counseling work there.
And so in Jacksonville is where he is. And so any church name or anything?
Yes,
or
San contact? Juan Church of Christ.
Great.
And in Corey Stumney is, he's there now, but he's possibly moving here to St. Louis to work at Maryland Heights.
Oh, good guy.
Yeah. So she was hoping for the name of a church and any contact information.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe ask them to reach out to him. He may be entering a rehab program.
Yeah.
I hope to learn more.
Okay.
But
if you give you Corey Stumney's phone number?
Or Dave with the counseling.
Dave is
almost
unreachable. I'll send both of those to you. No? He doesn't respond much to people.
Corey
been
would
kind
be
of frustrated in the past with that. But I'll send you both of those contacts.
Yep, and then I'll look up the church number. So that's good. I just thought, man, that is such a long shot.
Yeah.
Hey, Autry knows everything.
It is amazing. It is amazing.
Dude, this is awesome. She'll be thrilled that I can give her anything that's, you know, just a hopeful.
State
you
went by Longmont, Montana.
Yeah, <Have you>? Dude.
So thank you for that. And then my wife succeeded in connecting with Pat and Jamie Waring.
Oh.
Hadn't gotten any responses from them
for
a long time. For like the last month, it was our hospitality effort trying to make a connection, and Amy was worried and didn't know what might be upsetting them. They just weren't responding to double check phone numbers and all that stuff. Well, when we did finally get a response, Jamie said that their daughter, whose children they're caring for, has entered a rehab program, and they were having a really hard month.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And that was just last week that she had entered, and so just let's include them in our prayer. And
what's the daughter's name, Steve?
Sophie.
So that at least is a little update, and they know folks are thinking about them and praying for them. So
I noticed we had visitors again with, give me a second, Cindy and
Sergio.
Sergio.
Oh, they were there?
Yeah.
They were here, yeah.
Cindy said that, her daughter's kids for the weekend, and she said, I wanted to come here because I just like it here. But they're in Twin Cities.
Yeah.
She says, I know, it's very conservative, and but right now she's there for her daughter. And
she lives in Brentwood, in Kirkwood, her daughter?
I don't know. I've got the impression they live down there. At least Jake does, and I know.
Yeah, Jake does. I think the daughter lives somewhere in this area.
No.
Yeah.
Well, and
at one point they showed up and they said they were ready to place membership with their daughter, and then boom,
and
they're
boom,
gone.
Yeah. I think it's the connection with, well, maybe it's Jake and his family, but because
Now he was an elder at Twin City, and they had a divide some many years ago.
Yeah, they are super people.
Yeah, they are. Boy.
And somewhat of an aside, you know, talking about people and prayers is, I'm not sure if you were in our small group, Andrew, when Peggy Hope was there. And so, you know, she, you know, dances all around stuff, but, you know, it's very insightful sometimes. And, you know, when these things happen, what is our prayer? Sometimes our prayer should be, God, lay them low, that they may find you. Take whatever it is that they need to be taken away, that they may find you. And so, you know, again, I know you guys understand that, but that's the hard thing for me is, you know, depending on the people, sometimes it's, you know, a good Christian woman, just, you know, heal her, or may she glorify you, you know, through this suffering. But, you know, I think that is a wise thing that Peggy said, and it's a hard thing is this person's struggling, but God, you know, take whatever you can from them if it, that's what it takes to find you. And again, just as elders, I know that that's a hard thing. We always have people coming to us for prayers, and to have that perspective is, you know, death isn't the worst thing that can happen, right? It's dying without knowing our Lord. And so, anyway, I just wanted to throw that out. And you know, again, when we're talking about people and praying for people, you know, just knowing what is the best thing to do. And often it, for them to be happy and healthy is not always the best thing.
Yeah. I think that's why we always, well, I should say always, we should be praying, this is what we want, Lord, but yeah, your will be done. I mean, because we don't know the whole picture. We don't know all that, but we certainly want to submit to what his plan is, but let him know what our desires are.
Right.
When Peggy's raising, well, Peggy's step grandson is living with her now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's why she was bringing up some. Yeah. Just not sure what she should do.
How old is he?
He's 13 or 14.
Yeah. So when we had the mayor's seminar that Eric presented, I think it was in February, it was a guy from Ferguson that was there, and he and his wife came, and we were talking, and we were talking about the minister's search. We just said, when is the thing ever in, Andrew? And so they it took them a couple of years. They found the minister. And so, thankfully, your God brought you here with us. So
amen.
Thank you for that. That we got this in the mail today. It's his first anniversary, their new minister. His name is Dr. Alexander Jamerson. And they're having an anniversary recognition on August 31st, the same day as our In the Park event. But this this event is, starts at 3. So, wanted to see how much of this we want to share with the congregation so that we can let them know, you know, if they want to attend, meet the new minister, fellowship with another one of our sister churches. So what do you guys want to do in terms of communication to the congregation about this event?
That seemed like it would hurt to put it in the midweek bulletin.
Yeah.
With, you know, every once in a while, if there's a special something going on in a congregation, we make them aware that way. So that seems appropriate.
Okay.
By the way, Dave, I sent you the contact for San Jose.
San Jose. What did I say? San Juan?
Juan.
Oh, yeah. San Juan, San Jose.
He may know everybody, but he's really got a problem.
Since I'm friends with Corey on Facebook, I figured I'd look it up real quick.
So, John, how's it going with your family?
And while we're talking about people, you know, Dave Weiler, you put on a brave face, and I'm just wondering how you're doing, getting ready to go through this same thing again. And so
I'm doing well. I'm exercising and keeping that routine, and the vacation we had last week was delightful.
So, Andrew, I guess just background story. So, Dave had heart surgery about a year ago.
Year and a half.
Had a valve fixed, and it started to fail. And so,
the same mitral valve is failing again. So, it'll be a valve replacement on September 15th. So, keep moving forward toward that and keep praying about it. And I mean, it is sobering, but it's, there are plenty of blessings to count, and I've got some goals before the surgery to do, and had a couple of good conversations with Joanna and Seth in person with them this week, because that was coming, and kind of like, okay, this is, I'm not going to see them in person before that event, and so that's a blessing to do. And I'll do the same with Jeremy. You know, keep plugging away. You'll see me wearing a mask probably from September 1 to the surgery, that couple of weeks on Sunday, but I think I'll be here and keep the routine and then I'll enjoy the long break.
Yeah.
We have got scheduled
those
4 weeks.
Those are tough sabbaticals.
Yeah, they are, boy. Oh.
Scheduled 4 weeks off at work and then 2 more weeks at halftime at work. So that's what I did last time. Yeah. So,
okay.
So it's going to be good and plenty of reasonable expectations, but yeah, not taking it for granted, you know. And realizing that God's got me through it once. And mm-hmm. I was telling my son that it almost feels selfish to ask him to get me through it again. Because yeah, it's like, man, last time there were so many blessings to count. It was just what we wanted, because there are some difficulties with the replacement versus repair, yeah, and it just went well overall. There were a couple of bumps in the road, but it's like, man, I was back to the routine. And so I thought, okay, I need that again. And so that's, yeah, so there's that feeling that's just, you know, but reminders of how big God is, and yeah, this is not a very big deal,
yeah,
in his perspective. And so leaning on that is good. And so thank you for asking.
With his, from his perspective, it is, because he cares. I think we've
yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
And he knows it's a big deal to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
but the expectation is it's dirt. We're all dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to come. But, yeah, you know.
Yeah. And
we have to be ready.
Again, good conversation with Seth. He was like, look, even worst case scenario, you go home with God. Your burdens are lifted.
He said that great.
Yeah.
Wow.
Really,
that's
yeah,
great.
And so that was... That felt good, and
good.
It was like, yeah. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Andrew, how is your family doing after yesterday?
Kids are through the roof excited. Lily was worn out. But,
yeah, probably drained.
I don't remember who I was telling them other than Steve, but, you know, the biggest blessing it was, you know, on the family side of things was the kids, some of the kids running up to Lydia near the end. Because that's one of her niches, that and singing. And so I figured singing was what was going to get her first drawn in. Because they've already were like, hey, you know, Izzy's leaving. We're losing an alto. Mm-hmm. You sing alto. It seems like a match made right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I sick Caitlin on her.
Oh, well, Caitlin knows and already has already mentioned it to her. So, I mean, I think she'll plug in sooner than later. But,
She
got stuck in her mind. She got stuck with the kids at Vaughn Hill, which is not what happened. But that's because I was made children's minister for the second time. She felt like she had to step up, even though she was already helping with the preschool.
Yeah.
She just felt like she got stuck in that role.
Yeah.
The truth is, she loves that group, and so it was so fun to see. I think Zen and. One of his younger siblings went over and started playing with her out of the blue.
Oh, really?
And she, to the point that she came over and was like, did you, because I had just talked to the family. She's like, did you send them to me? And I was like, I had nothing to do with that. Like, I said, that was all God trying to tell you something. Because that really did make her day of, that's one of her soft spots.
Well, hopefully you felt the love.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
So, and I was really thankful for the name tags, because I got to look like I knew a lot more names than I did.
Yeah.
Half the people forgot they have name tags, and they're like, oh, you know, it remembers me. I'm like, I've set myself up for failure for some of these people. You knew me Sunday. Well, you had a name tag on.
Yeah, good job with everybody with the whole thing, and we're able to keep it under under the time. That was pretty good.
Well, you know, it's already paying off. Fruit's already paying off. They're flocking to the church.
All right.
There aren't the ducks out front.
Knocking the doors down.
20 geese.
Yeah.
Well, they're not on the roof.
Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah.
Next week will be deer.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, Don, can you lead us?
Sure. Father, we're grateful to be in your presence again, and just are so thankful for your love for us and your continued faithfulness to us as individuals and as a church. And we want to take this time, Lord, to lift up people that have very special needs, and I'm sure there's many, many more, and we always leave those and beg your care for them and whatever needs they have. Particularly want to lift up Katie Benio and her cousin and Adrian. And as she said, Father, we ask for a miracle that things look pretty bleak from our perspective. But we know that you are the great healer.
Yes.
And we just pray your blessings upon Adrian and and all the things that are going on with her. We just pray that you could take care of and heal and just bring life to her so she can enjoy life with her son or daughter. We're grateful for Katie and her love for you and her service. And I know she's being a good comfort to Adrian. We lift up our sister, Arstine, who's had a hard time, Father, these last several months. And just pray that you'll give her healing and that she'll be able to return back to the home and get stronger and stronger. And just pray for her health, Lord, that you can return that to her. And we love her so much, and she's been such a faithful servant of yours. Pray for Charlene and the challenges she has in her living accommodations. And Lord, I know that there are ways we can get that remedied or mitigated in some way, and just pray that you'll help us to do that and help her and get her to a situation that is safe and for her in her particular health situation. And we just are grateful for the Taylors and just pray that you'll continue to bless them as they take care of Charlene and others. Glad to hear about Rachel and just pray that her engagement and their marriage will be a great thing and that you will encourage them and that they can glorify you in their marriage. Grateful for Ben and Julie and what great believers they are and just the work that they have done here, and just pray that you'll bless them as they celebrate that wedding. Pray for the challenges the Taylors have with the kids in nursery, and we know that's very difficult, Lord, and we want those babies here, we want those babies involved in all the things that we do here, but we know that it does provide significant challenges, and we just pray that you'll help us to really respect the concerns that people have, but also do whatever we can to be sure that those children have the same opportunities as far as hearing your word and being in an environment of just loving people surrounding them and helping them in every way they can. We're grateful for Jeff and the way he handles all that, and just pray that you'll continue to give him wisdom and insight and the ways to make that the best situation we can. Pray for our brother Tom and just his impending back surgery. Just pray that that will be successful. Give him the relief that he's looking for, recovery very quickly. We're thankful for just his love for you and his. We're glad that he's here with us, and we pray that he will find a home here, and we can just help him in any way that we can. Also for Steve and Lisa, give her quick recovery from her surgery, and just pray that you'll bring healing to her. For Claudia, Father, we know it's not hard, I'm sure, with Max in Florida and suffering with mental health issues, and I just pray that you'll give her peace, and I hope that she can make these contacts with brothers down there, and that some good can be come from that and help Max in this critical time. We pray for Pat and Jamie. We know they're in a very tough situation, and pray for Sophie. Pray that rehab will help her, bring her to a point that she can be a strong parent to her kids, and Pat and Jamie can get some relief, and just help us to help Pat and Jamie in any way that we can as well. It was great to see Cindy and Sergio, and just pray that you'll continue to bless them. I know they love you, and they want to serve you in any way they can, and we love their families, and it would be great to have them here at some point. And just pray that you can make that happen. You know how we love our brother Dave, and just pray that you'll be with him these next several weeks as he prepares for that surgery. We know you've brought good doctors to him, and they're very skilled, and we just pray that they will be especially so for his surgery and be able to make that happen in a way that will give him a strong heart and relief from any of the symptoms and risks that are involved with that, and just pray that you'll give him a quick healing and recovery from that surgery. And certainly be with Amy as she stands by him, and we just pray that you'll give them both strength as they can get through this, and just help us to help them in every way that we can. Lord, we're grateful for the Owens being here and just so excited, and grateful for yesterday. I think it was a wonderful day, and we pray that it honored you and all that we did, and we look forward to a new start here for us at McKnight Crossings, and just pray that you will bless the work in all areas, and just be a revitalizing of everything, Father, as Andrew takes the his position and moves into it and learns, and I'm sure he will bring us great talent and great benefit, and we just pray that you will help us to help him in any way that we can.
Yes.
Bless his family, and we are grateful again for them to be here. Be with us tonight as we talk about a lot of things, and just help us to be efficient and get things done, and make decisions where we need to make decisions, and just continue to move forward seeking your will in all that we do, Father. And of course, we want you to guide us in all things, and your will to be done in all things. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. How's your finger, Don?
Throbbing a little bit now. But,
What'd you do?
Oh, I had a run in with a planer.
Oh, no. Yeah.
The planer won.
Yeah.
Okay. Number three on there is document to quickly review.
Yes.
Onboarding plan for Andrew. You got it.
All right.
Anything we need to talk about with that?
Not really. I mean, I shared most of the documents with you guys in email.
Right.
Yeah. So there's not a whole lot to go over there. You can definitely share things with me email-wise. I think just keeping it simple today. Then Andrew can kind of chime in and everybody wants to chime in terms of the onboarding. But so the first 45 days is just three simple goals. Is kind of give Andrew the space, time to develop a process of preaching preparation. And then give him opportunities to meet the congregation. You know, just set a schedule so he can meet the congregation. And then establish relationship primarily with Don, but with us, right? And so he and Don will be meeting on a regular basis. And I might join that meeting every now and again, but be mostly Don and Andrew. And so as we were putting together this onboarding plan, we had those three things in mind for the first 45 days. And then when we get into the second half of the 90 days, we'll sit down again with Andrew and kind of work out what that looks like, you know, kind of things that, as he's been kind of getting himself some traction, some of the things that he think needs that he needs to help him to continue to progress. And so we'll begin to implement some of those things at that time. And so so that was kind of a good synopsis. I do want to share this document with you guys, and I don't think I've sent that out. And this is a draft version I gave Andrew. It is copied as just a draft. This is a list of congregants that are shut in, maybe have some kind of restricted mobility, they lost their spouse, or some kind of special needs in the household, right? And so just the ideal is just for him to spend some time with some of these people here, and it'll probably be a good idea that on this list there's probably people that he should have an elder with them. Or just, you know, just help them kind of navigate some of this stuff. As you look at this list, you'll see what I mean by that. But it still may be worthwhile for us to visit. Like, Dave, I wasn't sure about Mary Spavalli of what her situation was. And so
Amy keeps really good contact with her.
Okay.
And so I don't think a visit with her would be conducive. She's getting more and more within, not venturing out much.
Okay.
Amy has to talk her into, you know, letting Robin Oestreich come with them for a meal.
Okay.
She likes it when they do it, but so don't worry about Mary.
Okay, gotcha.
She's getting good.
And Dave, what about I'm sorry, Don, what about Opal Dixon? What do you think?
I think maybe with somebody, you know, I think that would work. Maybe we could time it such that, I mean, with one of her visits, doctor visits or something, where she's out and about, we can.
Okay.
So, Steve, again, what is this list and what's the
so this list is people who are either shut in,
right,
very restricted mobility, or have some kind of special needs, right, that, and so just give them an opportunity to visit, because you won't see them a lot, but give them some connectivity to that group, some background information on that group.
That seems a high calling. That's a long list of people there, and I'm not saying that he should, but are we asking him in the second 45 days to meet with all those people, or sometime to start meeting with
just
those
start
people?
Meeting with them, start meeting with them. This, you know, this might take a long time, even beyond the 90 days, to get through some of this. So, you know, she's going to have some other things. She's going to be meeting with ministry leaders, and so this is just.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in order. I mean, there's a lot of people to meet, and where does this fall into that? I'm not saying that it's. It just seems aggressive, and so, you know, hopefully, you know, we can just kind of see where he is on things, but.
Yeah, so I think.
Yeah, it's a good list to have, and to really look at doing and meeting with some of those,
Because my point is that.
I don't think he intends it to be
those people have been around for years, and I don't know that any of us have had that list and said we need to see them in 45 days. And so, not that it's not a bad idea, it's just that
you're right. I think 45 days would be too aggressive. Right. This is just something for him to kind of go through and work into his daily schedule, right?
Well, I think it's good for him to know that these are members.
Exactly.
And that these are people that, if nothing else, members have, like Amy's with Mary and Debbie with Opal, and I mean, there's a lot of connections like that. And the other way, I think, just Opal, for example, I think it would mean a lot to her at some point. I mean, maybe it's us initiating it, bringing her by the office, you know, or something, just to meet Andrew, or you know. So it could be things like that too. But I haven't seen the list, but I'm assuming these are all members. These are people that, other than a specific effort to help them meet Andrew, they probably would never meet him.
Yeah.
And I will say, you know, the easiest way to help is, like you said, if one of you is already there, one of them is on your list of someone you're kind of focused on, give me a call and see when I can meet with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because of some of those, you learn all kinds of things.
That's why it's good for us to be with them, you know, a few of these.
And just like Jan Patrick, I've been wanting to go see her since COVID. I haven't.
Yeah.
And,
Well, and I will say, you know, because that's something I've seen before, is some of these people, because, I don't know them, but I'm sure some of those people, meeting them, word gets around that you met them.
Yeah.
That means something to people as well.
Yes, right. So, yes, it does. And like Ed Bielek is on there. I used to take him out to breakfast about every 3 weeks, but then he started deteriorating, and I haven't figured out how to connect with him in a year and a half. And I keep wanting to, and I'm not sure. I've tried a couple times, and I don't think he feels comfortable coming to the house. I'm just not sure what to do with him.
Yeah.
I was going to call his son and ask if he had any ideas.
If you do funerals, you also have that.
Yeah.
It's nice if you meet at least once.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks for doing that. Anything else on onboarding?
No, you guys have all the other documents.
Okay, yeah. Small group ministry reset. And again, we don't have to spend a lot of time. I just want to keep this before us because it's coming up. I know you'd said that you would like that once you retire, but what do we do now? And we talked about getting... maybe Melanie and Leon, putting Leon in a position of leadership to watch with some leadership there.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of things, and you know, some of it was just let it go for a while. It's, you know, it's probably not a good time to start it now, and maybe Q4 is kind of some of the things we've talked about. And so if that is, then I'd be ready to jump in and help with it.
Well, we traditionally
September after Labor Day is we tried to get them going.
Right.
And that wouldn't be the reset. We talked about that.
Right.
But I feel like we need to do something, and maybe we get Leon and Melanie if we decide to have them as a part of it. I guess we haven't really decided. We talked about them in the Waylands, mm-hmm. Ferguson's. Mm-hmm. And maybe one of us getting with them and just asking them to think through some things to kind of get things started, knowing that we're going to have a reset or something.
Yeah, I don't understand that, so I would just prefer, you know.
You don't understand
what? What you're talking about. Oh. So we'll do something before we do something. And, well, and that's not very
directional.
What we've done
in the past is we've announced small groups are getting ready to start.
Right.
Here's our list of small groups.
Right.
We invite you to become a part of those. That's right. Something we've done in the
past. Well, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I can do that, you know, next week if you need to. So you don't need to get Ferguson's or the Sukarans involved in that.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's all it is, I can do that.
And what do you all think?
I think it is valuable to touch base on with the small group leaders that we're doing it through the spring. And are you guys continuing? What are you doing? Touch base, see. There might be some dramatic changes. I just talked to some folks in my group this past Sunday, yesterday, and okay, are we keeping status quo and get an initiating email out there?
Mm-hmm.
And so typically, you know, Dale would have sent an email, hey, let me know what your group is doing, where are you, who's hosting,
mm-hmm.
and any challenges you face, you know. And I think that's a really good touch base,
mm-hmm.
as a lot of groups are going to be figuring out their pattern again, and us to be aware of things that are ending or things that are starting or changing. So
I can get that out.
If that's reasonable to do ourselves without a Dale.
Yeah, I can do that.
Dale Simpson was a ministry leader in this area for multiple years, and so he's stepping away, and appropriately so. And
he's on my list of people to talk to.
Need another replacement for that effort. Yeah.
And Dale Robbins is a good resource person. Call him a small groups guru.
Yeah.
And the church he's going to, they found out about it, and he's heading up their small groups. They actually are employing him to do that. So you'll come up with a plan?
Yep, I'll send out an email. I'll start getting that stirred up.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Number five, discussion of children's ministry options. And it was you put an email thinking of Sydney Bax.
I asked Nathan about that, and he was like, he wasn't really, he said that she still has some maturity issues. He had a good year with, mm-hmm. As an intern, but he said there are some issues in terms of maturity, and he says she's working on something in terms of trying to control her response to people. Sometimes she gets a little hot in her response, and he said that, you know, for now, he probably think that she would probably not be the ideal candidate.
I was kind of feeling the same way, but I thought if we hired her just to kind of do some things with the oversight of Jeff, if that really relieved him of some, but being the minister, I was kind of hesitant about that.
I think her plan is to stay in St. Louis another year.
Yeah.
She was brainstorming about going down to Harding this coming, and I think that's a year away again.
Yeah.
And then, but she is one who has actually plugged into the ACTS group, and a local graduate who's participating in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really encouraging to see when we've helped on a Friday night meal, you know, she's plugging right in. And so she does have that mechanism that seems to have enjoyed this last year. And so,
okay.
Hope it'll continue.
So let's put our brainstorming hats on. What are some things we can do to relieve Jeff? And even thinking, is there somebody we can get to do some of the legwork and being overseen by Jeff, if that would give him some relief? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. again, Nathan and I were just kind of brainstorming some of this, and he said, if you give me an idea of what some of the duties are, he said, I might be able to have some of my teams do some of the things that Jeff's doing. That might really, I don't know what those are, what would be appropriate for them to be involved in.
But, something as simple as filling supplies might be something that,
Yeah. Well, I think that's kind of what Izzy was doing, and that helps, right? That, you know, just making copies and getting the crafts together for the Sundays and things like that.
Bulletin boards probably be
enough.
Our new lead minister, he used to be the children's minister. Okay, we get on his job description.
All right, where's my letter of resignation? Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah, Izzy, I guess she did some copying and make sure things
That's pretty much what, she was just doing that kind of work.
I will say, I know she's just going to hurt him, but I mean, back when I was at Von Hill and had talked to Izzy just a handful of times, I was already going to try and scalp her for Von Hill if I was still there, because we were looking for a children's intern. So,
just a little about Izzy, just real quick. I've talked to several individuals about helping with her, to help him with tuition and stuff, and then one member is going to send her about $100 a month, Venmo it to her. Another member is told her he's going to help her with her. With her books and stuff, and she feels very loved. Her aunt and grandma are very appreciative of our church doing what we've done. And Harding has bent over backwards for her. Just amazing. I'm really proud of my alma mater, what they've been able to
do. And that's due to Steve's hard work.
It is. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm just really thrilled for her. Yeah, she's really something. She really is. And then Andrew Sowards used to be youth minister at Lafayette. He's got a daughter, Abby, that's just an incredible young lady. She's a sophomore this year, and she's a youth ministry major, and so I was able to hook them up digitally, and they're going to meet. And then there's another lady that's going to mentor her, and I forgot to do that today, and talk to her some, and she's going to get with her weekly and just kind of, because I just feel like she's going to have a harder time than she thinks.
Oh, yeah, I think so,
down
too.
There and everything. So, Izzy's pretty incredible, very incredible.
So the McGlawn and the Children's Ministry, the missions committee he chairs really is the point person on that. Mm-hmm. And the committee is made up of half a dozen more people, and we each have a missionary that we are the primary contact with. And so that structure works kind of well with that, without burdening him, but he makes sure things get answered, and we have a group think on, you know, the budget and things like that. And so I wonder if for children's ministry, could there be, you know, he's the point person, but could there be a committee, one person for each grade or something like that? Mm-hmm. And they're kind of tuned into that grade level, and gives him a committee and a group to ask to follow up or do things.
And if not grade, maybe sections like preschool, elementary, but then also worship time or events. That's the first time I did the kids ministry, because I did it twice. We had a council and did that, and that was, I told them that was easy to run, because it was so much of a lift because each person, when you can find people that are already passionate about those sections. Mm-hmm. You don't have to take everything. Can you take kids worship? Mm-hmm. Hey, you like doing kids events. Can you be the one in charge of those? And then you just have to check base. Yeah. And that worked really well when I had to take that on the first time.
So, Dave, what you're saying is a committee, and what I heard at first was to give input, but you're not talking about that. You're talking about to do the work. And how would we do that?
We don't have younger families who will stand up. They've been asked, but
it doesn't have to be any young families. Can be anybody. Yeah. How would we do that? So that's the thing.
As well as input ideas or something. But
that seems like the most sustainable idea so far. Man, just.
I think that's the way it was when John Cole ran it. It was similar to that.
Yeah,
John had a lot of help.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay, it's a good idea. I guess I can get with Jeff and talk with him about that. And maybe work with him with that.
Okay.
To-do list.
I like the kids' council. It seems like a pretty good.
Well, it's also nice when you get the parents on board, some of the parents on that, because then when you do have the like the Taylors and have a problem child or a problem issue, there's an entire group of people that are all helping make that decision, even before you get to the elders. So it's multiple layers of all the people that work together to.
And you've got Kate Schneider, you've got Hannah Grimshaw, and you just those two are Dream Team committee members. And so, yeah, maybe we can, where they don't have to do too much. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I'll try to get with Jeff.
And those two did inquire, you remember, they inquired about the ministry at some point in terms of walking into the children's minister's role, the two people you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
so yeah. They seem like they would be natural for that committee if they were willing to do something like that.
Yeah. Okay. If you have any other ideas of people, let me know.
Okay.
But Jeff will have ideas. Jeff.
He will.
Okay. Anything else on that? Number six is the review of the spiritual formation plan. Look on, I got one of the packets there where at the bottom it says next meeting date, August 18th. This is from Betty, and this is just an overview. I thought I'd just give you all the notes there. We've got the women's prayer breakfast, details with that, reading plans, details with that, and then the fall class schedule. You got Don and a co-teacher in the auditorium doing Romans Part 1. And then myself and Chris Fuller doing going through a book, Unoffendable. It's by Grant Hansen. Really good book. In fact, it was a book that my daughter's in-laws told us about. So Susan and I started listening to it when we were traveling. Like, whoa, this is really good. And so I bought the book and bought the study book. And the study book gives you the streaming rights for, you can have six videos with it. And it's basically talking about anger and how kind of righteous anger is not something that's really in the Bible. It's something God can do and Jesus can do, but we can't. We're supposed to be forgiving and we can choose to be unoffendable. It's really, really
it's
challenging.
It's a really good book.
Yeah, it's really good. So that's what Chris Fuller and I are doing. So that's for the fall class schedule. Let's look at the dates there. August 17th, Craig Young's coming, sermon in class. So does somebody got that? Does Jeff have that? As far as somebody making sure everything's for class and for the sermon, does anybody know?
I think they start working on that. I think they're just going to do the class in the auditorium.
Yeah.
What other pieces were you
thinking? Well, just is there somebody's in contact with Craig and making sure they have all the details?
Okay.
And
I don't know for sure. We can talk about that tomorrow at the staff meeting.
Okay, good. Next is class time, and we have Next Gen. Nathan is doing that, and then we have the next steps with Stephen Gwynn and Jeff Kreider on the fourth floor, right?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Fourth floor. then the 31st, Church in the Park. And then September 7th, the fall classes begin. 7th through November 2nd. And that's 9 sessions. Then we have elders class. And this is something that was just a suggestion. We've never really talked much about it. If you go to the next page of handouts there, it's got, I've got it again. It's easier just to copy this thing off. On the 9th. And these are just 3 suggestions I made. It was off the top of my head, to be honest. And I thought about it. I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound too bad. So I put them down and we can talk about it. Here, I'll tell you kind of some of my ideas. What is the role of an elder? What is their role with the church and for shepherding and that? And then the 16th, who should we consider to be an elder? That's where we would talk about the qualifications. And that's when we can hit it on, because we got the idea from talking about divorce and where we've come to on that. And then the third class is, what should you expect from us? Let me go back to number 9, the role of an elder. There was we have one document that's in all the links of things that has a lot of pretty good detail on some stuff there. What do we do? And so what's the role? What do we do? Who should consider the second one? Go through qualifications. And then the third one, what should you expect from your elders? And there was a handout when we first merged that I think Bearden and Kreider put together. It was probably, I think it was like 8 pages. One of the points in there was, as your elder, we won't know everything. I thought I loved that point on there. And so I was going to ask Jeff or call David to see if they have that document and get that and look at that. And then the one that's in your link of things is a pretty good one for them.
And I think I've got that one. I'll look for it.
Okay. All right.
That you're talking
I'm
about.
Going to be really disappointed if you don't
have it. Yeah, really.
I've got everything. I think I've read that one.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then the 30th, having the congregational meeting. Or, and this is something we can discuss, maybe we have the congregational meeting on the 9th and move the elders classes to the 16th, 3rd, 23rd, and 30th. Ideas, discussion.
What's the purpose of the congregational meeting?
Kind of to let them know, I think, let them know where we're going now that we have a minister. What are we doing with our elders, you know, with having elders and looking, let them know our plan for elders, bringing guys in, and Jeff McGlaughan, and then Don not being there, and kind of just an informational, because we haven't had a lot of communication with them. I have to keep reminding myself of that, and we can decide what we want on that agenda.
My thought is every time you have an open meeting like that, you open yourself up to all sorts of things that, you know, you may wish you hadn't. So
we've always had good experience with congregational meetings at Mid-County. They were always good, and I think the whole process where people can feel like they can have a voice, I think, is a really healthy thing. That's just my opinion.
I like the idea of having the dialogue. I guess it's a possibility that something that could be simmering underneath the surface, but I think we had a different place than we were 5-6 years ago, where things were just, you know, slinging from everywhere. But it seems like we are a place where people are pulling in the same direction for the most part, and just having a chance to talk about, because it's going to be a major, two major things are going to be happening here. Don's going to be stepping down, and then Jeff's going to be coming on. We're going to be recommending that Jeff comes on board. So I think having a time for the congregation to hear that from us in an open forum would be healthy. So I like the way it's coming after the elders meeting, because they're more informed, you know, in terms of the questions, and we just need to be well schooled on what we taught, you know, so that we can answer some of the questions. So this works for me.
I think a congregational meeting is a good idea, and after the series is good. I don't know about Thanksgiving weekend in terms of the number of people that'll be traveling versus able to attend. So let's weigh that. And I also think this, who should be considered as an elder, is a 2-week element.
Okay.
I think we present in the first, just like you've got here, hitting all those qualifications and elaborating on that. And then I think people will come back the next week. They're going to try to digest. And the next week we need them to be able to, in the class, interact and flesh things out and touch on that again. Doesn't have to dedicate the whole class, but I think we need to, maybe if each class just follows up with any questions about what we covered last week, maybe it's as simple as that. Because I can just imagine, you know, some of the things that are a little, oh, really, that's where we are. And then you digest, you think about it all week. They may or may not be comfortable calling us or emailing us. And so that next meeting, having the next class, I think would be a good structure.
So then if that makes having sense. 4 sessions with the elders and then having the first week of December, the congregational meeting?
Well, I think 3 sessions might get it done if we do questions beforehand, because I think that last class may be a little thin, but I would just keep it in three. And I think what you're saying is, yeah, if anybody got any questions about what we covered, and at the end of the class, you know, think about it, pray about it, and let's talk. If you got any questions, bring it to the next class, and let's have a dialogue, and then open up the next one, and then go through it. And I think that should be, you should be able to get through that in three.
And then congregation meeting, having it the, what is it, the 6th of December, and then maybe not even having class Thanksgiving weekend, or?
We've tended to probably not have a class on a weekend like that. Lots of family in town. And, just do a fellowship maybe.
Congregational meetings. I like the flow of this. I don't like an open mic, you know, just any questions, any problems. You know, it's got to be, we're going through this, there's specific things, you know, we're going to talk about two or three items, and I, you know, it's, that's what we're going to talk about. Anybody got questions about these two or three items? But I think we always should say, if you got any other questions, you know, get with an elder or email us. But I don't like an open mic for just any questions kind of a thing. I always get nervous about that.
Is there a way you could take questions ahead of time?
Well, again, I think you just say, anybody send us emails, any questions, whatever.
But announce it ahead of time, saying, hey, we're going to have this meeting. We'd like to address some of your questions. If you send them before this date, you know, we'll try to get through as many as we can. That way it gives the freedom of anything, but it gives you the discretion of, okay, let's work on
individually.
Right, but I
exactly.
But I would say no in that, you know, always, you know, this is what we're going to talk about today. You know, this is a narrow discussion. There's lots of questions. And let's say, you know, somebody has a question that we're not ready to talk about. You know, and we've got a list of these. You know, my daughter's LGBTQ, you know, why aren't we accepting? And, you know, we don't talk about it. But they said, hey, you know, I sent you this email, why aren't we talking about this? And so it doesn't mean that we shouldn't talk about it, but that's not the time or the place in my mind. And so, yeah, just always say, you know, here's what we're going to talk about, questions about this, and then, you know, we're always free to talk about other things. But yeah, just to say, send us emails and we'll make sure to discuss those issues. It's, you know, some of those things may take 6 months to
think through. Well, I think that's where the joy of coming after the class is. One of those things you can set up is, hey, there are going to be some things that you want to discuss in an open forum that, as elders, those are actually one-on-one. That you need to trust, you know, how you discuss that with them. That's, you know, I did that all the time. I do Q&A classes. And that was what my first rule was. I'm allowed to say, I don't know, I'll come back with that later.
Yeah.
Because you don't know always what you're going to get. And so you have to be able to say, hey, I'm allowed to say, time out. That's a one-on-one thing. Or, hey, let's get your parents involved because I was not ready for that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we've still got time to think through this whole thing. I will let Betty know that we decided not to have the congregational meeting on the Thanksgiving weekend, but then do it the first weekend of December.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll be too disruptive.
I don't think so, So, all right, got my to-do list. Okay. Let's see. Like the discussion eldership plan, future elders. Bardwell was talked to. McPherson, I talked to McPherson, and he was willing to.
I talked with him also. I'm meeting with him Sunday. So I had a couple email exchanges, and I'm getting with him Sunday.
Okay, too, good, so. Good. And I talked to Charles Eichley, and he didn't say no. He said he'd think about it, and I meant to get with him yesterday.
Your discussions with those three were considering coming along and joining our meetings for, you know, that's the scenario that was...
Well, I sent you the email I sent to Matthew because he said he's interested, and it was similar tone to Eric, so I kind of have a boilerplate, and it's just, you know, with Andrew coming on, you know, it's a good time just to bring in, you know, guys with different vision, and so...
I talked to Matthew yesterday, and he says he's ready.
Yeah, and so that's what he told me, and I just said, well, I just want to check with you guys to see when it might be appropriate to have him come sitting in.
Yeah, and that would be under number D, timeline. We'll look at that in a little bit. So, no, that wouldn't be, then I looked the wrong one. C, timeline up there. So, And mentoring plan, see previous handout. I brought this book from the church library, and talking about when we bring somebody on, doing a little, not as passive as we've done in the past. The suggestion was taking this and reading, and maybe we go through this in an elders meeting. Maybe we meet 30 minutes early, everybody brings their dinner, and it's been 30 minutes going through a different chapter each time, and we all just discuss it. That's one thing. Or another thing is each of us get one-on-one with each of these guys and kind of going through the book with them there.
What is the book?
It's They Smell Like
Sheep. Oh, okay.
And it doesn't have to be this one.
Yeah.
I had another one. I forgot to bring it, which deals with elderships, and it was written by several people in our brotherhood. Each of them took a different chapter. I forgot to bring it.
Yeah, so my thought is that sounds great. And actually, you know, we could use the devotional time at the beginning of this to talk with that jointly.
But number one, we all have to get the book, and then we all have to read it.
Right. So. Yeah. And the other I would say is why wait? It seems like there's things that we haven't done with Jeff McGlaughan. You know, I don't know, because we're getting ready to present him, but I don't know that we've ever sat down as a group and said, okay, here's what the Elder's Covenant is. You know, read through that with them and discuss that with them, or some of those things. It's like, here's what the expectations are, you know, and you know, some of the things are, you may not agree with everything said, but we're going to 100% back each other and, you know, those kinds of things, and we're going to be supportive. And
we need to do that with Eric and Matthew, and if Charles comes up before they even come on.
Right.
And
let it back up a little bit. I've got a problem with Eric. I've shared that with this group. Mm-hmm. But I'm also thinking strongly, we got a problem where you have an employee and Eric married to that employee that creates all kinds of issues. And I think you need to think about that seriously. I think if Eric wants to become an elder and his wife is in that position, that's a conflict.
It is.
So, and when it comes to Charles, Barb's going through some issues right now. And I think he's probably trying to weigh that heavily. Mm-hmm. And I would not push him hard to do that because I'm sensing that there's some problems in the family that they probably don't want to share with everybody. So I just wanted to put that out there for what it's worth.
But with Eric, is Elizabeth still here?
No,
okay. And Elizabeth, is that something we can work through? Obviously, that's the first question. Yeah.
Well, I think we have in the past, and I think also, you know, your relationship, you were director of CFS and you were an elder. I mean, talk about a conflict. You're chairing the committee that oversees your organization. And you know, again, we've lived with similar conflicts. And so it just has to be addressed and aware. And, you know, is this something that those people feel that they can live through? Yeah. So, and we did it with Vicky and
David.
Yeah.
Yeah, I envision, I mean, I think I trust that Elizabeth keeps employment things confidential from Eric today. And I don't have a concern that she wouldn't continue that when he's in the role of an elder. Now, she'll share everything she sees, and she sees everything, but it just in terms of, you know, I mean, we're going to talk employment things here, and I suppose if we had a disciplinary issue with Elizabeth, we'd have to ask Eric to recuse himself from the discussion. Would make sense.
Yeah.
But I don't think, you know, as an elder, Eric's going to hear more than Elizabeth knows about various members. So I haven't had that concern, other than that one-off scenario where, okay, there's really something with Elizabeth that needs, you know.
I think there's really importance to look, you know, when Sue worked for CFS, you know, I never was the
Board of Trustees.
Board of Trustees, you know, because it was a conflict. I mean, it just, it's there. And I know a lot of people, you know, when Steve Hopp, I know, was on, you know, he had Becky serving at the same time while he was a trustee, and I, you know, just, okay. But it, I think it helps to have some guidelines. I can share something, I think, confidentially with everybody here that you need to know about that shows you an example of what I'm talking about. The situation with camp right now is a disaster. And we've got a problem because our church is a 501c3 entity. And we've been paying money into the camp, and the camp lost its status about 8 years ago.
What, Nietzsche's?
This is Camp Nietzsche.
Camp Nietzsche. Okay. And Jeff was behind on things with doing things, and then when he died, they never picked it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're sitting in a situation right now where, you know, we were funneling money over to the camp. I'm sorry, that was to CFS. But, you know, these things happen, and they're going to, you know, create problems. And I'm just saying,
but I don't know what Nietzsche's has to do with Eric and Elizabeth.
I'm just saying that when you have a person who was doing something for camp and trying really hard to do it, but when I was talking with some of those people there, they were clueless as to, you know, what had happened, and they had no idea. And I'm trying to help them in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I said, one of the reasons that CFS, you know, I think has been so successful is the fact that we've required audits when it was established. You know, you can't find anything over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's a debacle. And that ties directly to what's going on here in terms of, you know, we're funding that and doing things. And so
I think it is prudent to be aware of the risk, that we have to understand that there is a risk. But I think we have to look at all of these individually and each of us to say, okay, because they're all going to be unique situations. And what is the risk and how, you know, what's our comfort in that? And again, because, you know, there's going to be other things we're going to talk about. And like the org chart that we're proposing where, you know, Steve may have some of the ministers going through him, which is fine, dotted line or not, but that makes him somewhat of a super elder. You know, and when he took the position, it was not that way, but I'm comfortable with it. But it's, you know, again, it's one of those things where given our size and our structure, you know, sometimes, even in our corporation, we've had to write letters to the auditors to say, you know, we recognize this risk, you know, due to limited size, you know, this is what we've got to work with. And so I think it's wise to point out these issues, but then for us to say eyes wide open, you know, it seems like we can accept that risk or not, and one at a time in the situation. So that's kind of my thought on it.
And that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, even at BJC, we had board members. Perrick was a board member, you know, he had multi-million-dollar contracts all the time building, but it was just disclosed. And it was when decisions had to be made, he recused himself, you know. And I mean, it's a matter of being aware of it, the risk, but you don't have to, you can't fully mitigate every risk, you know. And it's just being,
you know, it's like a word. Jeff would excuse himself from elders' meetings when we were talking about his son. It was, you know, think, again, you want to know, you need some guidelines to be sure that, you know, things don't just blow up
when,
like that.
Mike Runcie, I think, was, when he was director at CFS, was he an elder here at the same time?
Yeah.
I believe. And so any lessons learned or any structural practice that would be insightful? Because I think that was the case.
Well, I think most corporations have a conflict of interest policy where you just, all board members every year fill out a form that says, I have these conflicts of interest. Either I own a company that does business with the corporation, or I'm related to a significant person in the organization, and you disclose that, and so that's public document. And then in any of those situations, it says very clearly, you know, Perrick will not vote on anything that involves a contract to that company, or disciplinary action of an employee who's related to a board member. That board member is not involved in that. So I mean, it's, there are steps that are there. Again, it's full disclosure. I mean, it's very transparent, but I doubt there's any corporation that does not have some sort of conflict of interest, you know.
Yeah, they usually have policies that are written in disclosure.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not extensive. I mean, it's a disclosure thing, you know, that I have on file. All the organizations that Brett is on the board of, and any relatives that he has that, you know, has significant ownership in the company, or, you know. So, I mean, it's very transparent.
So
the process.
Is anybody willing to put together a very short conflict of interest document for us?
I can look into that.
Okay.
I confess I need to ask and double check here while we're looking at some of this. Are Eric's children baptized? Doesn't have to be all of them. We've talked through, you know, that, but I really don't know of their relationship. I've not been close enough to them.
Marissa has been.
Yeah, Ian, no.
Yeah. Maddie, I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll, I mean, that's just an example we'll be teaching on here.
Yeah, right.
I assume the Eichelies son is baptized. I have met him, but I haven't only known him these last few years, and he's been an adult. So.
And he's been baptized.
Okay.
Is he regularly exercising his faith? I don't know.
Understand.
And again, another thing that I think we ought to be asking is, how's their marriage? That's a qualification I think we should look at pretty seriously, is do they have a good marriage? And I think Eric does. It seems like Matthew does, but I think it's a question we should ask all those coming on. And
yeah, this will work through. So
see, and I think how are they doing in their giving? And I think we need to ask each other how we're doing on our giving. Are we engaged in the ministries that are going on here? There's some things that aren't in the Bible that I think we should ask, that I think is a fair thing to do.
So related to the timeline, I think, then, I mean, we've touched base with these and we'll get feedback from them, but I think asking them to sit in with us before that teaching and congregational meeting might be a mistake.
We can have discussions
leading in, and what we're going to be teaching about. I see those hand in hand. Is that, as opposed to getting moving and then?
I thought that's how we discussed it, and we talk about, so we let them know about Don and Jeff, and then tell them we have these guys that we were going to invite starting in December. That's what I thought, but we can,
Just to make sure, because things could move more quickly without us all realizing.
That seems right to me, too.
Yeah.
I think in the interim, we need to be thinking about what kind of engagement we want to have with them. So how we can help them to see maybe going through the covenant, some of those other things that we have out there. I think it seems like it would be a missed opportunity, and it seems like it would be, you know, have too much silence in between now and then. So I think we need to be thoughtful about what we want to engage in with.
And I agree with Steve. That sounds good. The timing is different. At the prior meetings, it sounded like we were chomping at the bit to get people here. And so I can talk to Matthew and just explain what's going on. He'll be fine with it. So
I'll talk with Eric. And when I talk with him, I'd like to meet with him about the Shepherd's Covenant and show him that what he's, even if he's coming in just to shadow, he needs to sign that Shepherd's Covenant. And even we even talked to Andrew here about him signing that also. Yeah. I think it's important.
Yeah, and something to add. And you know, I think about, you know, talking with Eric and Matthew. I've got a lot of problems, a lot of downs, you know, character flaws. And so one is, it's easy to throw grenades, and I have to watch that. It's easy to find fault in things, and you know, hopefully we're here to, you know, try to make things better, right? And so with my nature, you know, just come in here and just start nagging about things, and you know, that is not, shouldn't be at all the point of us meeting together. And so something like that, like the tone of what these meetings are about, should all be productive and edifying.
So, Andrew, I don't know if we've talked a lot about our process. Has tended to be when we see men who are leading and shepherding on their own, and we feel like they meet the qualifications, we typically ask them to join us for a certain length of time at our elders' meetings and really get to know each other, get to know them. They get input. They're not officially elders, but come alongside and let's see, is this something you're feeling called to? And let them really see the inside, you know, baseball. Mm-hmm. And then after a certain length of time, we present them to the congregation if we're in agreement that they feel the calling and it makes sense. And then we give the congregation some block of time for feedback and then an installation. So we're very close to doing that with Jeff McClellan.
Yeah.
And these guys are on the beginning of that.
Have you ever reached out to Cyber Institute on training for elders?
Yeah. I think we had a booklet we looked at.
So that's the only thing I thought of is I wonder if they had any, you know, things you could do with elders before they come up.
That's a good point, yeah. So here's what it sounds like with our timeline. We ask the future elders now and meet with them, talk about the Shepherd's Covenant now and let them be a part of the class or attend the class. And then starting in December, and if all that goes well, starting in December, them attending meetings, and then backing up, letting them know with Jeff and Don, and then with Jeff, we would let them know that, I guess, December 1st, or maybe in November when we're having our meeting, that he is one that has been a part of our meetings, and we want to put him up, and if you have any issues with that, give him a 2-week note, you know, 2 weeks to let us know. Otherwise, we affirm him, not install him. I don't like that term.
Yeah, and fair enough.
Affirm him the first part of December as far as being an elder. Is that what I'm hearing is saying?
That sounds good.
Okay.
That sounds pretty good. I don't remember. It seemed like we were going to let the congregation know about your timing, but I don't remember when and how that lines up with this. So what makes...
The last I heard was we were going to wait and see how this all kind of fell out. So okay. I'm very open to whatever you think is the best, you know. To
say we let them know about you when we let them know about Jeff coming on.
I think that could be a really special thing to be able to affirm Jeff and do something special for you to thank you for what you've done at the same time.
And let him know he's not leaving. He's still shepherding, but just not going to meetings.
That's right.
Just at least not official ones.
Well, I think in our class on what it means to be an elder, I think there needs to be a differentiation because, and whether this is scriptural or not, you guys can hash out, but I think there really is a difference. There's a difference in level of, I mean, there's shepherding, which certainly is an important part of it, and but there is also this leading part that I think that the elder is called to lead a congregation, and that may be a little different than what it was in the first century, you know, because we've got so many other decisions to make about buildings and about, you know, where we're going and the visions, and that's the part that I think that I'm stepping down from because I feel like I think there is an age limit. I think that we get to the point and physically it's just not there like it was 10, 15 years ago. And then I think, you know, it's time for some new blood as, you know, Brett thought through that, you know, these are different times and there, and I think there it's room for new ideas and new, so I think it's important that it's not just the shepherding of going and walking side by side with each member, but it's a leadership thing as to where you take a community of faith forward, you know.
And that one of those documents on eldering, I think we need to go through and see if we still want that. Like, you know, it's the one we put together where we had a process, a fluid process, and we've not done that well. Decide whether we want to keep that or not, to be honest with you. And then we talked about having pastoral admin and vision elders and decided if that's what we want to keep, that model. Mm-hmm. That was the model of, I think, shepherding. So, okay. Anything else on that? Let's move on to number D.
Just so that I'm clear, so when will we be making an announcement to the church about Jeff and me, I guess?
Maybe at the first, I don't know, maybe at the first elders class?
I'm thinking that's good timing to let folks know. That's why we're doing a class. It's not stepping away. We're considering other individuals here.
I'd even say the week before, because that might draw up interest in the class.
And you should hang on through Christmas.
It's a stipulation.
Yeah.
Through December.
Okay, and before we get to D, I'm going to go to 8 real quick. Look at this, the elders meeting schedule. I just put the same one in there as we had before, going 2 months each time. And then I took Don out and put McGlaughan in there. And does that work for everybody? Okay, let's go to D, Nathan's leadership model.
Okay. You know, I've seen this before. Nathan's refined it several times.
Is that part of his thesis or what?
He actually started working on this before he was, but he's refined it based on some information he's learned while he's been in grad school. Grad school's been great. He comes in and got all kind of great thoughts on grad school, and he's working on the survey. I think he wants to present that sometime in the near future. Got a lot of good response from the survey. I use this all the time. I mean, I use mostly the bottom half is what I use in terms of helping me look at where are the holes in ministry and where can we be thinking about who might be a good fit to fit some of these holes in ministries. So this has been real helpful. This visual has been real helpful. And I think tier two is where we don't really have a tier two. We have someone like Jeff before, now Andrew now, where the vision is that a lot of the ministry leaders are integrating and interacting with Andrew probably more than he is with us. And so he tends to have a good grasp on what's happening with some of those ministries when you develop those relationships. But Nathan's, so we've had tier three and tier one at the bottom. Nathan thought, hey, there's another tier in between that could be helpful. And it serves several purposes. One is that it's a great place to develop future leaders, putting some of them in that role. And also, it does kind of streamline the reporting to the lead minister, you know, in terms of how things are going. That doesn't preclude him going directly to, like, say, for someone like a Joyce Holmes from time to time, if you're looking at the discipleship ministry overseers, or someone like a Dave and Amy, you know, or Alan and Kelton and Susan. But if you have these five people where he's meeting with them regularly, he can stay connected to those ministries in ways where it allows him to have less, spend more quality time with these and try to interact on a regular basis with all the other 15 to 20 ministries. And so Nathan's model has Andrew have a reporting section for Andrew that's a little different than what we have right now. And he plugged in a couple people that he thought might be good in those areas, like, for instance, missions and ministry overseers. He had Eric and Elizabeth as that group. And so, and then in terms of next gen, he had like Jeff and Beata, you know, that would be over that group. And so, I like it. I like the model. And we talked a little bit about, hey, we may want to fine tune some of the things here, but I think some of the things we are already practicing, you know, but as I said earlier, the piece that we don't have in place is that centerpiece is where we have the streamline of reporting to, like, Andrew in this case. So so that's the model, and I wish he was here because he's the author of this. He can do a lot better in terms of explaining things to you guys, but I think there's some benefit to this. I know we're talking about elders, but there's some benefit in terms of how we prepare future leaders by getting them plugged into some of these roles too as well. So, and you can see our role as elders over, you know, these things that we, hospitality, thanks Steve for leading us in that direction, administration, and these are areas that we kind of oversee already. Not so much the building beautification, but our building care to a certain extent, but definitely administration, finance, and hospitality are things we're leading right now. So any thoughts, comments, or I would recommend talking to Nathan, or if there's any, you guys got any thoughts right now, that's fine as well.
I don't see Eric and Elizabeth up there overseeing the missions ministries.
Okay.
That's one that I'm like, head scratcher there.
Yeah, I was thinking the same, that maybe that should be the elders. Yeah, I'll have to think about this, but...
And maybe the ministry overseers, best of them not to be the elders. Just throw that out. We're trying to develop leadership there.
Yeah. I think the thing is, ultimately, it does come back to y'all. It's that these are the people that will interact with them, these individually, so that you don't have to spend a month going to each one of these ones. There might be times, right. But you could just go, you know, we'll go with Eric just because that's what he has right here. But, you know, you can go to Eric and you've trained Eric and talked to Eric enough to say, hey, Eric, how are these ministries doing? Is there one I need to reach out to? Is there one, instead of you having to, or me or someone having to reach out to all these ministries, it's, hey, we've put you over 5, 6, 7 ministries. Gives it a little bit more responsibility. See how their leadership handles that.
That's a good point, because I'll give you an example. So in the food pantry, sorry.
Go ahead.
So Mark Minton reached out to me and Elizabeth, and he said, you know what, I was just at the food bank, and we are not following some regulations in terms of the temperature maintained in the food pantry area. They said the ideal temperature should be 70 degrees or lower in that space, right, because, you know, it helped preserve the food, you know. And some of the food that we have are close to expiration, and having it those at that temperature, that would keep the life of the food longer. So we don't have a thermostat set there. We don't have a thermostat set that low there. And if we set the thermostat that low for that room, we'll be cooling that whole space on that third level. So we're trying to task with figuring out how do we get back into regulation, if it truly is a regulation, so that we can maintain the temperature?
Right.
And so that's something really probably Elvis should be involved in. It should, we should be involved in that piece, right? And that's why somebody like in that ministry, like I'm just using Eric and Elizabeth, that would be their task to work with Mark through figuring out how to solve that problem. Right now it's falling on me and Andrew, right, in terms of that problem. And so,
yeah, I think some things, though, like the way you described it, is it's not a regulation. It's a recommendation, and you know, what do we do?
Don't know if it is or not.
Right. But the words you used, yeah, made it sound like a recommendation. And yes, then, so one of the issues, again, it's conflict of interest, is every ministry thinks their ministry is the foundation of the church. And
that's good.
But if you put them over this, it's like every resource of the church needs to go to my ministry, which may not always be ideal. And again, so like we're looking at ministries, and I have always wondered what we should do with Mauritius. We've been supporting them, and that from the last time we met with them, that ministry has merged and it's turned into benevolence. It's not a mission work, it's benevolence work. But you know, who's over it? How do we, what insight? So if you put somebody in ministry over the ministry, you may not get insight, and it will, again, conflict of interest. Every ministry will want to perpetuate theirs, maybe not for the benefit of the whole church. And so I see what you're talking about, but it does seem that somebody independent or that has a wider view should have some visibility into these questions and how resources are being allocated.
I think the overseers, that's their role. And then if you use this model to take it to its fruition, I think they will also be interacting with Andrew, right? And so in a case like that, where I just described, okay, if they can't figure out how to solve their problem with the food pantry, or first you got to determine, is it really a regulation,
right,
or is it best practice?
Right.
And so if it becomes that it is regulations, well, then we haven't been adhering to that regulation. Now we need to get in line with the regulation. We need to figure out how to do that without trying to cool the entire floor, right? So, and there are some ways we can do it. There's ways we can do that. So I think that person, those people that's in that role, that's their problem to figure out within budget. They still have budget obligations. Because each one of these ministries have budget obligations, so they won't be able to necessarily solve their problem if it's taking them out of budget in a way that they might want to. They won't be able to put a independent air conditioner for that unit on the roof. You know.
Well, but the thing with budget is if they turn the thermostats down, it infects somebody else's budget, and so somebody's going to get hit. And so it just seems like recommendations of some level should bubble up, you know, again, because why are we, so the question should be, why are we doing this? Should we still be doing this? You know, like Mauritius. How much funding should we go with it if we are doing it? It's in like with the temperature, is it a regulation or is it a requirement? And if it is a regulation, is it only for certain foodstuffs? Mm-hmm. Is it for dry goods? Okay, so then we have to decide, you know, should we carry those or can they get those somewhere else, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, but it seems like...
Let me just suggest, we're not going to solve this, but do we like this model? Oh, there's someone in the back, too. Do we like this model, and we can go back and tweak it some? We may not like the names. We can change the names. But
the tier two is, I have to think about that. I think everything should bubble up in some fashion to the elders, but I don't know when or at what level. So
I don't think everything should bubble up to us. I think if we got problem solvers that could, using an example, I think there's ways of solving that problem without affecting someone else's budget, without them knowing their budget being affected.
I'm not saying that it can't. I'm just saying that there are ways that it can impact other people's budgets.
It can.
And I think this is scriptural. I mean, this is Jethro coming to Moses and saying, you can't be handling all these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is, we're putting, you know, they went all the way down to somebody over every 10 people.
Right.
And so one for the 10, one for the 50, one for the 200. Right. So what we're saying is really, hey, this is a 200 level, you know,
right,
a little bit bigger of a thing.
Maybe another example would be, like with we just talked about with Children's Ministry with Jeff McGlaughlin. What you need to do is you need to go out and find volunteers. And so every ministry has the same ideas. I need volunteers. And so you've got every ministry wanting 20 people, and it's like, well, this is never going to happen. You know, we can't have, you know, every minister asking the same people to volunteer. And so, again, there has to be some coordination, I would think, to how this happens. Because if everybody acts independently, it's going to cause a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, to me, that's where this does help.
Yeah.
Because instead of you and me and Steve having to work with 30 ministries, we can now meet with five and say, hey, hey, our Sunday ministries have started asking for a lot of volunteers, but our next gen is hurting now because everyone's in worship volunteering and our children's... Yeah. And instead of having to have three ministries coming back and forth, it's now we're talking to two over people, and that, you know, breaks it down. So they know the information ahead of time. And I think that that's where that could help. But I do agree. I think it's important to make sure they don't have a role in one of these bottom ones.
Yeah.
Because that does start building a conflict of interest. Eric starts favoring CFS over, you know, overseas stuff. That maybe it's important stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have a connection to one under you.
So I would suggest we look at this, pray over it, and maybe we can tweak it some at a future meeting when Brad's in charge of it.
And I would recommend let Nathan be a part of that discussion
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I think
too.
It'd be good. Yeah. You know,
and I would ask why.
Point.
Okay.
The word overseer is in the Bible used for the role of elder.
Elders, it is.
So I would have a problem using that word for that reason.
Okay. Yeah.
But what we're talking about is, you know, how much percolation do you want to build into your, you know, your approach.
Yeah.
And to me, what made sense was when people came and had a passion and a calling and wanted to do something, they brought it to the elders. You know, years ago, we had a lady that came here and said, I want to create a children's
preschool.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, we didn't have that on our list, you know. But we said, we'll pray about it. And we did. And we ended up opening up this project. But then she moved away. And suddenly somebody took it over but got tired of it. And, you know, we said, well, you know what? Things can move, and we don't have to maintain somebody's idea at that time. And I think that flexibility of having the eldership decide, you know, what is important and what isn't is key. And so, you know, having people you can delegate to and trust and help work with others, great idea. But the word overseers, I think, would be the wrong word there.
Okay.
And I do think that's something that should be thought of when tweaking this is something that should be thought of is what are the things that, no, that doesn't stop with them, that needs to go straight up. Hey, someone's wanting to start a ministry, end a ministry, those kind of things. What are the, what do we see as, you know, that's a red level that needs to go straight up.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. And it's something really good to work with. I think it's a very good, some good ideas for us as we try to shift some things around to create more leaders. Okay. A good thing. Okay, number 9, we'll do it later. Number 10, closing prayer. But before that, number 11, our next meeting is next Monday night to discuss messy grace questions. And I've got those questions here. And Andrew, what we did is we met, I don't know, a couple months ago to talk about the LGBTQ. What do we do about that? And so we took from Messy Grace, is that the name of Messy Grace, the book by Caleb Kaltenbach? Are you familiar with that book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so on page 167, 168, I think is what it was, they had these 18 questions on there. So we want to come back and just they're messy questions, and just kind of discuss it with us. I would suggest this is a great opportunity to talk with your wives and kind of working through some of this stuff together and getting their opinion. So when we meet next week, we'll have their opinions on here too.
Yeah, another question or two questions that I thought reading through this and you know, thinking about elders and it's something I think that we need to discuss is what if one of us performed a same-sex marriage, or what if one of us attended a same-sex marriage? What is our response? I mean, would they be disciplined? Would that be okay? But so I think that's another one. It is, you know, again, as elders, what is our stance? And then,
yeah,
you know, how do we support that? And if one of us were to do that, what would the expectation be? And I've been scratching my head on that, but I think we need to ask that question.
Yeah. So it'll be a question. Remember to bring that up next week, and we'll discuss it then.
So I have a small conflict of interest with this one. Not in that sense of scheduling-wise. I was really hoping to go to Church on the Streets with Nathan's group next week.
Yeah. I would... We saved this one so that you could be here.
Yeah.
So he'll understand. Yeah. So, okay.
Is your daughter going out there?
She is.
Yeah.
So, all three of them.
All three of them?
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can understand your desire to come.
Well, I am not worried. Liddy will probably be going too, as long as she can make it. So, I'm not worried on the safety end. I'm curious about the ministry itself in general. So
we've got 4 minutes, and I was going to say, in my mind, one of the most important things about our meetings, and I'm serious about this, is that they be completed in less than 2 hours. In that, if the longer it takes, I wouldn't say that it's sinful, but it's problematic. In that, in my mind, we should be thinking about this stuff all week, and we should be in here and sometimes it's stream of consciousness, you know, especially when we get into the people part of things. Oh, you know, we're just thinking back through the week and you know, we should come in here prepared. It shouldn't be stream of consciousness. We should have a list of people that, you know, we need to ask about, or there's issues that are coming up. It's like, hopefully we've spent some time thinking about it, and it's not just, well, here's what I'm thinking about it tonight kind of a thing. So anyway, I do think that keeping under 2 hours, you can do that if everybody's here is ready. They've prepared and they've got some thought in it.
I'm defending myself, but I agree. I like getting done in 2 hours. Right. The last two, I think, went 3.5 hours, something like that. And I think those documents we had to look at, we really had to look at because of the things that were going on.
So I think
most of the time we can do it, but there, like, we were in a situation with onboarding and transitioning and all that kind of stuff.
And I fully understand it. And a lot of times, it's, you know, we've known people for 20 years and we just go into the back history and, oh, I remember back when. Yeah. And it's like, well, that's great, but we're killing time.
Emails, we get so many emails, I can't do the emails very well. I get so confused. Like, Jeff had one he put on there and we haven't even discussed it, one of his ideas. but emails are important. To bring up all the emails is really hard for me to remember all of those. So, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. 2 hours, under 2 hours is a good thing most of the time. Mm-hmm. So,
can I just, so this list of shut-ins and littles and little ones and special needs, I'm going to send it to all of you guys.
Oh, please.
And if there's someone you would like to go with, Andrew, let him know that, right? Just check it off, let him know that, and then... Because I think most of these, it should be one of us with them. You know, as you go through this list, I think you understand why it should be one of us with them. So, so I'll just get that out to you guys the next day or so.
Okay, great. Andrew, can you lead us?
Absolutely. Father God, I thank you for these men here, that they listened to your calling to be elders, that they were willing to take the mantle on that is sometimes heavy to bear, quite often. But I am so thankful for these men, that they would give their time to you, to this church, and that ultimately they would be led by your Spirit. as they care for these people. Because ultimately, that's what this calling is to love on the people
that's
you
right.
put before us.
That's right.
As messy as that can get, as complicated as that can get, that's the simple truth of it, is to love them that like you would. So I thank you that that's where their hearts is first and foremost, that we might get caught up in the details sometimes and the ministries and the programs, but ultimately that our heart is, all of this is for the people
that's right.
that you've put with us. And so would you continue to guide us, to give us wisdom as we continue to love those around us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
One idea about next week, we may not be able